to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And then we will also be looking at, in the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. So first of all, Deuteronomy chapter 8, we'll begin reading in verse 7. Hear now the word of God. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flint rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good in the end. Then you shall say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. In the New Testament, if you'll turn with me to the teaching of Jesus in Luke chapter 17, we'll begin reading in verse 11. Now when it happened, as Jesus went to Jerusalem, and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, then he entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of God abides forever. Amen. Pray, Father in heaven, we come to you as those that are needy, that in ourselves, apart from you, there dwells no good thing. But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. Our identity is not in ourselves, but in you. And so we pray that you would enable us to again stop and consider what you have given us, what you are giving us, what you will give us, how you have shown us grace and mercy and help. Enable us to respond appropriately with thanksgiving and praise. Not just in this meeting time, but forever. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, so this Thursday is the national celebration of Thanksgiving. Is that a good holiday? In some ways, I think it's one of the best holidays that we have. It's a time where we stop, and we should stop and say thanks. Right? The pilgrims, when they established Thanksgiving, it wasn't thank you to the Indians. It was a thank you to God. And God used the Indians to help them, right? But still, the Thanksgiving was focused on God. So what's the opposite of Thanksgiving? Ingratitude. Unthankfulness. You know that God hates unthankfulness? Ingratitude? What is the cause? What causes ingratitude with us and with others? Well, Isaiah begins his book. God reveals to him this ingratitude. Listen to the words of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. In verse 2, we read what God has done. He's nourished. He's taken care of his people. But verse 3, how did they respond? It says they did not know. Why did they not know? Because they didn't bring it to mind. They didn't think about it. They forgot God. They did not consider what God had done. As it said in that passage in Deuteronomy, in our passage, they see all the blessings and they look and say, look at what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. They forgot God. And it goes on to describe the rebellion against God because forgetting what God has done. So my point in the outline is, what is the source of gratitude? One of the major sources is the ability to look back and consider what God has accomplished on our behalf. So looking back is a good thing. Looking back at what God has done for our forefathers, looking back at what God has done for us, as well as looking forward to what God has promised. So our text is Deuteronomy chapter 8. We haven't really spent much time in this book. Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. It's Moses preparing the children of Israel to enter into the promised land. We've been working through Joshua and Deuteronomy before in preparation. Moses basically preaches three long sermons. You think my sermons are long? Read Deuteronomy, and there's some pretty long sermons there. What he does is he basically looks at the Ten Commandments primarily and expounds them and applies that to what do you do when you're in the promised land, when you're in your inheritance, how do you live? Is basically the book of Deuteronomy. It starts off by pointing back to Israel in Egypt, in bondage, and describes and declares what God has done up to the point, to that point, the first few chapters. And so, in a sense, we have in the middle preparation for God's blessing. Did you notice that as we began to read? For when the Lord your God, verse 7, is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water and fountains and springs, and he goes on to describe more and more all the blessings that are there in the promised land. He's bringing you into this. This is going to be yours. How are you going to express your thankfulness to God? Or will you? He warns us as well. So that's the context of the book. So let's consider my first point, and that is God lavishes great blessings on us. So the first thing that the book of Deuteronomy reflects on, and the rest of the Bible does also as a book of remembrance, is redemption. Now, you can say, okay, that was then. They were redeemed. They were physically slaves in Egypt, and then God redeemed them out. But what does that have to do with me? Well, apart from Christ, you're a slave to sin. You're in the kingdom of darkness. Mankind is in the kingdom of darkness.
But it is by the grace of God, his salvation, that he takes us and he translates us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of his love. Right. So the first thing is, what has God done? Salvation is of the Lord. It's not me. It's the Lord saves. Secondly, in the time that this was written, God had provided, as it says in our text, in ways that Israel didn't understand. What is the word manna? Do you know what the word manna means? It's literally, what is it? What is it? They asked, what is it? Manna. What is it? It's bread. But they're asking, what is it? You understand? They didn't know what it was. They've never seen this before. They wake up in the morning and there's all this all over the ground. Well, what is it? Well, like you said, bread. Oh, that's manna. That's what is it? They didn't know. They were in a howling wilderness. What did God do? God covered them with the cloud, like a tent. And at night, when it got cold, it was a fire, a pillar of fire. Well, this place has no water. What did God do? He provided water out of the rock. He provided everything necessary for them. And the most important thing necessary for them was his own presence. You think about that. Does that bring comfort? Yeah, does that bring comfort to them that when Egypt attacks, God is there? In the howling wilderness, God is there. And if God's my Father, and God's my Redeemer, he is also going to provide for me. Do we still have that presence with us as we go about work? Is that important? Yes. Right? When you're dealing with bosses that are crazy or workers that are lazy. Oh, that's pretty good. Or patience, that try your patience, or kids, or complaints. The one thing that you know for sure is you're not alone. That the Lord is with you. I like that one poem where you've heard this one, the footsteps in the sand, right? Where the man looks back over his life, the Lord shows him a vision of that, and he sees his footsteps in the sand as he went through, and there's the Lord's footsteps. And there were times, the most difficult times in his life, there's only one set of footprints. And the man said to God, see, I felt like you weren't there at that time, that you left me. And what's the answer? He said, that's when I carried you. That's when I carried you. So he's the one who provides, and the most important is his presence. And part of that presence in the journey is sanctification, isn't it? Did Israel get sanctified during those 40 years of wandering? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. Those children who were booty for the bad Canaanites ended up being the soldiers that went in and conquered the land because of God's sanctification. Furthermore, God loves us so much that he corrects us. He does sanctify us. Look at verse 5. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Do you like a spanking? If it's done right, you don't like a spanking. I don't like spankings. I didn't like spankings when I was a kid. But was it because my parents were brutal beasts or because they loved me? They spanked me because I needed chastening. And Proverbs says it's a sign of love. So does God deal with us grown-up children? Does he spank us with physical affliction, financial affliction, relational affliction, weather? Driving, hitting ice, going in over the different ways. Yes. Does he do it to beat us up? Is it heavenly father abuse?
or is it for our good? But it doesn't feel very good at the present moment, does it, right? Yep. So God corrects you. Why? Because you said it. We need it. Because he loves us. He wants us to be like Jesus. And he says, well, we're gonna get there one way or other. Right? Furthermore, he gives us a future and a hope. Verses 7 through 10, he's talking about the future that they would have. Again, stop and think about it. These are people that are wandering, have been wandering for 40 years in the desert. Okay? Living out of a tent. Not only that, but they were following the Lord in the cloud. And when the cloud started moving, you packed everything up and you went on. And when the cloud stopped, you stopped everything and then you unpacked and you set up your tent. And then when the cloud moved again, you unpacked, you packed everything up again. Can you imagine what was that was like for 40 years? No settled place. Now, I like camping for a week. I don't like camping for 40 years. Okay? I don't know about you. And I can just imagine that, you know, you're going along and the cloud stops and you set everything up, and just when you get the last tent peg in the ground, oh no, the cloud's moving. Now you gotta tear it all down again. And then you pack everything up and you're going along, and then and it stops. Well, what do I do? Do I wait a little bit before I put up the tent? Just in case, and then it doesn't move. Then you set up the tent, and then it starts moving again. Can you imagine doing that for 40 years? Here he says, you will come into your inheritance, into the good land, a land where there's water in a semi-arid desert, that's a good thing, and a land where there's wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates and olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. Isn't that amazing? For these people who are still wandering in their tents, waiting for that promise, God says, I have a future for you and a hope. You will be blessed. So here are different ways that God calls not only them, but us to remember and think about, to recount what God has done. One preacher, when he was preaching a sermon on Thanksgiving, said, if we are to manifest our thankfulness to God in Thanksgiving, we must be able to see his hand in the blessings of the year. He goes on to say, speaking of David praying, remember when David wanted to build the tabernacle or the temple? And God said, you can't do it. Why not? You're a man of blood. You can't. Your son's going to build it. So what did David do? David raised the money and all of the resources to be able to build the temple. He couldn't build it, but he could prepare for it. And then he prays this wonderful prayer in 1 Chronicles. And the author, this preacher, George Singler, said, David saw the divine hand moving his people to contribute so largely and freely for their means for the building of the house he so much desired to build for the Lord. The hand of God is still at work among nations, communities, and families, as well as individuals, giving shape and direction for his own ultimate glory and the best interests of his creatures. No man can look upon God as he reveals himself to a thoughtful mind in providence without his soul swelling with the emotion of gratitude, impelling him to break forth in expressions of thanksgiving. The emotions of the soul are involuntary and arise in keeping with the character and condition of the object upon which the mind dwells. So what is he saying? If we stop and we focus on what God has done, it will impact our emotions. Yesterday I was driving and I was getting onto the highway and I hit ice and I went over the embankment.
I tried to get out of it, but I got stuck. And I gave a call. Jeremy, thank you. Caden, thank you. And they came to my rescue and towed me out. Was I thankful? Well, whether I said thanks, I think I did. I hope I did. If I did, thank you. But I was thankful that, for number one, I didn't roll the car, I didn't bury the car, I didn't get hurt, and that I had the ability to be able to get out. I was thankful, and I'm still thankful, otherwise I wouldn't be bringing this up. But there was an adversity that caused me to be thankful. And it was the body of Christ that the Lord used to show thankfulness. And so I am much more thankful to God for delivering me than I was before I went in the ditch. It wasn't something I thought about. But again, thank you, Lord, for delivering me. And I was thankful that the car was set up right, that we could pull it out. And your truck is awesome. So the point is, does your thankfulness, do you have that? He says it's involuntary. Interesting statement. It's not, I'm working it up, thank you. You know what I'm saying? Or, oh, okay, I got to thank God because that's what my mom told me to do, right? No, it's something that's natural. Thank you, Lord. Like I said before, when I got in the shower this morning, again, I said, thank you, Lord, for a hot shower. As I spent 6 months without a hot shower, and afterwards I thanked the Lord for a hot shower, but I had to lose the hot shower to appreciate a hot shower, right? But it was a real emotional thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So that's the point. How do we do that? How do we have that? Well, thinking about all the blessings that He has given. So this Thursday, when you have Thanksgiving and you stop to pray, what do you do? What? There should be some time in there of saying thank you, right? That's what it is. It's Thanksgiving. Well, how do I say thank you? Well, I look at what God has done. I look at His lavish, His blessings upon us. Secondly, is there an inappropriate response to the grace of God? And the answer is yes. In verses 11 through 17, reflect that. Notice in verse 11, beware. Watch out. Be on your guard that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, His statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply, your silver and your gold multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God. As I was reading that, doesn't that sound like Thanksgiving dinner? Afterwards, you just, oh, I'm so full, I can't eat another, right? And you're, oh, I'm blessed. He says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God, nor His commandments, nor what He calls you to do. You're a servant. He warns us in verses 12 and 13 that prosperity is dangerous. Interesting thought. You take it for granted, or it becomes an idol. Because look what I have done. Right? This is for me. Verse 14 speaks of further forgetfulness. Do you know that arrogance can overpower an individual? Have you ever seen it? Someone that is arrogant, that thinks so highly of themselves, can it become what causes in the fall? Yes. And it can lead to further rebellion. What is the warning here? Forgetting God. And forgetting God's word. Disobedience, verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments.
and his warning, which we didn't read, verse 20. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you will perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. So Israel, the Lord said, here, I'm going to bless you and bless you and bless you. Don't forget me. Don't forget my commandments, or else I'm going to do to you what I've been doing to them. So there's a very serious warning here, isn't it? That is the reason for the importance of the work of the Holy Spirit to make us more like Jesus, so that we're not like the Canaanites in the land, right? Third point, appropriate response. That was an inappropriate response to forget. The appropriate response is to remember. Again, verse 2. All the way over to verse 2. And you shall remember that your Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. God commands them to remember. Again, verse 18. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day.
Don't forget, but remember. Remember is active. Remember is recount, call to mind. It's something that you have to do. It's not something that just naturally is there, usually. You have to stop and say, okay, again, for me, when I got in the shower this morning and I turned on the hot water, I remembered what God has provided. I wasn't thinking about that, and then I remembered, and I said, thank you. Okay? We need to remember, not just God taking it away and then giving it back to us. We need to be able to say, the reason I'm able to get around town is because of the grace of God. I have a vehicle. I have a job. I'm able to put gas in the car. I'm not stuck in the snowbank. That is because of the grace of God. The reason that I can be here today, that I can get up out of bed, is the grace of God. The reason that I could put on my clothes, that I had clothes to put on, and on and on and on. Do you ever stop and say, thank you, God, for my clothes? Yeah. Do you ever say to God, thank you, God, that I can get, what is this, vertical? Do you? As you get older, you thank the Lord more and more that you can get out of bed and that you can be vertical. You take it for granted, young ones. It's a gift of God to be able to get up out of bed. And the body, yeah. So, recounting the wonderful blessings of God. Verse 3. So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. I guess they didn't need any cobblers back then. So they didn't need to replace their shoes. They lasted 40 years. God provided for them. God's wonderful blessings. Remember the blessings to you and to your family. Now stop and think about it. On the other end of the spectrum in the book of Judges, they forgot, didn't they? They failed to remember. They forgot. So we are called to recount. So that's a good thing to do on Thursday, right? Take some time and talk about. One of the things we didn't do on last Sunday, which we should have, is stop and take some time to thank God for what he's given us. So if you can, do that this Thursday. Secondly, obey God's commandments. Walk in his ways. Verse 6. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him and to respect him and to live for him, if you will. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So how do I appropriately respond to redemption? Obey him, right? Is it good for you to obey God? Is it good for you to obey your parents?
right? At the time, you may not think so, but it is good for you to obey God and His commandments. And then he also says in verse 6, fear and reverence Him. Therefore, you should keep the commandments of the Lord your God and fear Him, reverence Him. And then finally, verse 10, to bless Him. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. And one of the ways that you can bless Him is to bless others. Isn't that part of our calling? God blesses us in order to be a blessing. And that's actually the title of the sermon. Blessed in order to bless. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Again, quoting from that sermon, a singular sermon, he says, there is the mingling into one, talking about gratitude, the nature of gratitude, joy, appreciation, and a pleasant recollection. Joy in receiving what God has given, appreciation for what God has given, and a pleasant remembrance of the one who gave it. That's thankfulness. Thankfulness is number one. Joy when, hey God, look what you've given me. I appreciate it, and more importantly, I appreciate you. Thank you. He goes on to write, and while it affords pleasure and meets the approval of God, it produces a wonderful effect upon man's life. The grateful man not only renders God thanksgiving, but also honors Him by a life of faithful service. His whole soul is poured out into the life of obedience. He feels that he must do something to please the one who has brought him under so many obligations for his unmerited favor. In other words, again, how do I say thank you to God? Doing what He wants me to do, fulfilling my calling before God. To end, in summary, I want to go back to that prayer of David. Again, David was not allowed to build the temple, but after collecting and preparing financially for it, he prays 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Is that your heart cry? Is that your understanding? Do you bless the Lord your God for His goodness to you? Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we ask, O Lord, for that work of your Spirit that was in David as he rejoiced in what you had given and what you had worked in the life of your people to give for the building of the temple. He acknowledged your multitude of gifts. We pray that you'd help us to have an eye fixed upon you and your grace and your mercy, to be a thankful people. For it is in you we live and move and have our being. And it is your blessings that we have you. We have your presence. We have that relationship, that eternal life, knowing you. And the multitude of other blessings in order to live and move and have our being. So we pray that you would do that work in us today and on Thursday, especially as we gather in our homes, that we would be found to be a thankful people, those that do not forget you. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.